Welcome to the Soil and Stars podcast. This is a podcast about living a meaningful life in all ways. We'll talk about astrology and other wisdom traditions, creativity, natural health, spirituality, and all sorts of practical day-to-day life stuff. I'm your host, Molly Moorhead. Hello and welcome, friends new and old. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to do an episode today focused on astrology. So I'm going to talk about the astrology, some of the astrology for the month-ish, and I'm going to talk about some things that really, really hurt my heart and bother me about the way that astrology is misused, because it's just been on my mind a little bit. So those are the two things I'm going to talk about. Before I get into that, I just have a couple little things. So last week I shared an episode which was kind of a behind the scenes in my business journey, as well as the things. I have like these lists of the three things that I feel like I'm really learning and integrating right now in my business. So that may or may not be relevant to your life. It's intended partly just to be a behind the scene for anyone who's interested, but more so for folks who have their own business or are contemplating starting a business. And some of it is pretty much the same for a lot of career stuff if you don't have your own business, but not all of it. So yeah, and that was, I actually re-listened to it because I didn't remember what I said and I wanted to know where I was at and kind of also give myself some of my own medicine. Like sometimes I say and write things that it's really good for me to revisit. So I just revisited that episode, and yeah, it's vulnerable to talk about this stuff, and certain things I'm like, oh, well, I said that wrong or whatever. But overall, I am grateful for this space to be able to share, and I know that it will be helpful for some people. So if that sounds like it would be helpful for you, go ahead and check out last week's episode, what I'm learning inside my business right now. And the other thing is, like, I say this at the very end of the episode, so I feel like no one probably heard it, but so I'll say it at the beginning of this one. I would love to give some more intro classes, some sort of, I don't have like one particular thing I need to do. I have a few different ways it could go, but I would love to teach some astrology intro classes or give some talks. And I would love to do that either virtually or in person in the Lincoln or Omaha area more. And I'd love to do that for folks who are super interested, because I know there's lots of people who are, but I don't always know like where to find the right people, right? I do mini readings as well, and I would love to do more of that. I do them about seasonally at my friend Pepe's restaurant, and that's this very joyful thing for me. I love not knowing who's going to come in and what I'm going to be asked. I love connecting with people that I wouldn't necessarily connect with. I mean, I would connect with otherwise maybe, but I just thought this is like the thing that catalyzes our connection, and that all feels really, really beautiful, and I would love to do more of it. So if you have a group or a space that you think would be a right fit for me to teach about astrology at a beginning or intermediate level, or you would like me to give mini readings at your thing, reach out. My email is soilandstarsart@gmail.com. You can find that as well in the show notes or all over my website. And yeah, I would love to talk. I'm also happy to, I haven't been a guest on any other podcast since I started this podcast, so I would love to do that. I have this kind of funny thing where I'm looking at the podcasts I listen to, and they're not really ones where I would usually be a guest. Like, they're like, I have my ghost stories podcast that I listen to that I really like. I have some podcasts by very famous people that, like, I don't even know how I would contact them, and other independent, like, small ones, but it's like, yeah, some of them I actually have reached out to and I haven't heard back, but I'm kind of like, oh, I think I'm missing something there in terms of my podcast world, in terms of people who would want me as a guest talking about some component of astrology or some other thing. around the topic of living a meaningful life. So yeah, I just want to say that at the start, and thank you for your consideration and for, you know, and for connecting me with something that might be the right fit. So that is that. We just switched from Taurus season to Gemini, like today or yesterday. Both of those signs, sun signs, this, you know, archetypal energies to me feel very creative in different ways. Like, and Taurus is so much about earthly pleasures, and Gemini is so much about creating things and like mental activity. And I just want to give the invitation to everyone, like, to ask yourself what you're doing to really nourish your creativity right now, because this is such a great time to do that. I've been really focused on making clothing. I haven't done this since like high school, but I felt really called to do it because I just wasn't finding clothes I liked. It felt like a lot of the clothes at, I don't know, just ordinary stores were kind of cheap. Like they just didn't feel like that good to me. And then like the fancy stores, everything is kind of like, well, it's a little pricey, so I can't get that much of it, right? But more than that, it was kind of like black, gray, brown. And I'm like, I don't want to wear those colors. And also some of it, like, I'm not actually skinny enough to fit into like fancy boutique clothing necessarily. Some of it I am and some of it I'm not. And I'm like, Molly, you know how to sew. Like, you've known how to sew since you were a child. You've watched your mother sewing when you were a child. I took, what is that called? They called it FCS, Family and Consumer Science. It used to be called Home Ec. I took that in junior high and I learned how to use a sewing machine, because like I was a horrible student of my mother. Like I would just be like, why'd you do it like that? Man, like I was a pain in the ass. And so I couldn't learn those things from her. I just learned through like watching her. She made a ton of clothing for myself and for her and for my dad too. He wore like slacks and button down shirts and things to work that she wouldn't have made. But she made things like pajamas for him. And she made doll clothes for me and clothes for my stuffed animals and things like that. And she quilted. And so I witnessed all that growing up. And I'm like, Molly, you know how to sew. You can't really read patterns very well, so just make them up. And I've been sewing. I've been making clothes. And it's been incredibly fun. And I'm just telling you because I feel like it's one of those funny things. It'd be really easy to dismiss. Like, it'd be really easy to dismiss the urge to do that because it's not technically productive. Like, I did need a few pieces. I feel like I'm kind of hard on my clothes. And I had kind of destroyed a lot of my shirts and needed something new. But I could have, right? I could have gone to Target and bought shirts. But I had looked and I just hadn't found anything I wanted. But anyway, they're so like clothes like that. I mean, they're so cheap. I could have done it, but I was like, I don't really want to do it. I really want to make clothes. So I paid, I don't remember how much, to get my mom's sewing machine fixed. It had been acting kind of funny ever since I moved from California with it. Like, I think it bumped around in the moving truck. So I hadn't been able to sew with the machine for 5 years, and I had just done some hand sewing here and there. But I was like, I'm going to get this machine fixed. And this is the guy who fixed it was a wizard. He was incredible. And I have been making clothing right and left, and I just love every minute of it. I really enjoy the simple problem solving, and I love the overall result. I'm getting the thing that's like the exact thing that I wanted. I'm not settling for something that I didn't really want from Target. And I make tons of mistakes, but they don't really show, or like I can easily fix them, or like I'll see that my stitches are wobbly, or there's something that's like, oh, I'm like, oh, I messed that up. It's going to hang weird. But then it doesn't. It's weird. It's a lot more forgiving than I thought. I thought it would be a lot harder to make clothes that fit properly than it actually is. It's not very hard. If you have the interest in, it doesn't feel like patience to me, but I think it might be patience. Maybe that's true patience when it doesn't feel like patience, when you're just actually taking your time and enjoying it. I just listen to music And I get out my sewing machine and put it on the dining room table because I don't have a special sewing station. And I just sew for a couple of hours and it's so fun. And I also have a watercolor project that is going to be revealed. I'm not going to tell you anything about it, but I've been doing that too. And it's just been so lovely. So I just wish all of you the same kind of joy and comfort and feeling, you know, that you can do it. So I'm just asking the question, what are you doing to nourish your creativity right now? There you go. And you can pause this, come back to it, whatever. So that is that. And astrology update. This is the deal. I was never going to do like horoscopes or anything for the 12 signs. I still don't want to because I feel like it's a lot of signs. I think I heard Austin Coppock, the astrologer, saying a few years ago that he felt like 12 was too many when you're writing horoscopes. You know, there really should be like fewer zodiac signs. And I really thought, oh my gosh, I'm sure that's true. Yeah. But also, there's so many people doing that. It feels like reinventing the wheel. But here's the deal. My friend is having me give an astrology kind of rundown, like a 5-minute little talk at her moon circle every month. And so I've been taking the time to look at the upcoming transits in a way that I don't normally. And I've really enjoyed it, actually. And so I was just like, oh, well, I should just, after I give that little 5-minute talk at my friend's moon circle, I should share a version of it on this podcast because I've already kind of done the legwork. So it's not going to be a super long thing, but I just want to talk about a few of the transits. So I'll say them and then I'll go through them a little bit. So we've got, I'll just say we've got a Jupiter thing, a Venus thing, we've got a Mars-Pluto thing that also is involved in the Jupiter thing. And then I just want to briefly talk about Mercury. So, and of course the sun just went into Gemini. You can read about that anywhere. It's lovely. But I feel like one of the fun, probably the most fun bit here is just that Jupiter went into Taurus on May 16th. And Jupiter will be there till next year, mid-May. And that's normal. Like Jupiter normally spends about a year in each sign. Jupiter is, I think of Jupiter as kind of like Santa Claus. Jupiter wants to make everything better, bigger, more fun, but also there's a classically very much a component of wisdom and spirituality that Jupiter is all about. So Jupiter in Taurus is going to mean something very different for each of us, depending on how our chart is configured and our relationship with those energies. However, what I can say is, you know, for everyone, whatever, you know, Taurus is to you, Jupiter is bringing blessings there. So Taurus relates to like just in general, to land, to the earth herself, to gardening, what else? Any kind of earthly kind of thing, like earth, like I think of gardening, I think of raising animals. And then it'll have specific meanings in your chart based on where it's located. But so Jupiter, yeah, is conferring his blessings to Taurian things. And to me, that sounds really nice. One thing I'm going to do, and this relates a little to my chart as well, there's like an added layer of meaning, is I'm going to try to redo my bathroom this year. My bathroom is the worst bathroom you've ever seen. And it's only gotten worse. Like it wasn't great when we bought the house in 2019, and it's somehow worse. And I remember thinking like, oh, I'll redo the bathroom, no problem. And I haven't done it. It's 2023 now. And it's because it's one of those things, like you kind of have to do a lot of it all at once, right? Like I can't just be like, oh, I'll just do the floor this week, you know, because I kind of want to put in a different bathtub before I do the floor, right? And so I think I would ruin the floor if I try to take this tub out on top of the new one. And then there's all the issues that have to do with like the wall surface around the bathtub. Anyway, it's a whole thing, but I learned about a federal loan for that is no interest. It's like housing and urban development money. So anyway, I'm going to start that process now, and I'm going to try to get that loan and then try to do it. And that is especially fitting, I think, because Uranus is in Taurus, and that very much seems like you're demoing a bathroom and then rebuilding it. So for you, I mean, I think that is a Taurian thing, though, too, because it has to do with my house. But it's specific also to my chart a little bit too. But so for you, it might be something else, but it's the, if you want to kind of work with this transit, you can think about any kind of Taurus related thing, and you can think about like what could use some help, you know, not just like a good thing that could be better, but like a problem that you can try to fix, because Jupiter wants to help you. And you definitely want to ride that wave if you can, and get that Jupiterian support of making things bigger, more fun, more joyful, and wiser. So yeah, that is that. You've got a whole year to work with that. The next one I'll mention is Venus is in Cancer now through June 6th. Then she'll go into Leo. And I don't always listen to this podcast because it comes out every single day, but Adam Ellenboss's podcast, Nightlight Astrology, he has it on YouTube as well. There's a video version on YouTube, but he has an episode about Venus in Cancer and how this particular time that Venus is in Cancer is configured in the chart to be a much bigger deal than it normally is. And it was really true. Like all the things he pointed out, I was like, wow. So she's just a lot more potent there than normal. Like Venus doesn't have a ton of essential dignity in Cancer, but just the way the chart is right now, like with Jupiter and Venus being in mutual reception and a few other things are happening as well, Venus is more powerful. And I think of Venus in Cancer is very loving, you know, and yeah, I'm just, you can always be seeing like what needs that kind of love and care and how to bring that. And that's through June 6th. And if you want to listen to that episode of Nightlight Astrology podcast, it's called like why Venus in Cancer is a big deal or something like that. And it came out in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. And then, so Venus in Leo in early June for like about a month or so, that is always a really fun transit. Like, I mean, I think it is because like, that's sort of it's kind of a bit of a theater kid or drama queen diva kind of transit. And that, if you lean into that energy, I think it can be pretty enlivening and fun and joyful. So there is that. Then we've got Mars. Mars actually just ingressed into Leo. Ingress just means enter. To yesterday. Mars just went into Leo yesterday after being in Cancer. And Mars in Cancer is not great. Like, it's not the worst, but it's not great. I was feeling it in various ways I won't even get into. Not a huge fan of Mars in Cancer. Partly because it is, has to go over my moon and my midheaven. But anyway, Mars in Leo is pretty much a nice phase shift for most people. You're going to feel, if you were feeling sluggish or kind of like you couldn't get anything done or just kind of in your feelings, or like you didn't have as much energy as you liked, or more like frustrated, but not able to take the action that you like. Those are all kind of Mars and Cancer themes that are not happening with Mars and Leo. Mars is a lot happier there. And we'll see what that looks like in the world. But in terms of like an individual life, you might really be able to use that. And of course, it'll vary in your chart what that looks like and what Mars is to you. But yeah, that's a nice thing. And that's through, I'm sorry, I don't have the date on when that goes through. So there you go. That'll be okay for now. I'm not going to look it up. But Mars is doing some kind of harsh things there, though, that I'm curious about. One of them is there's a Mars-Pluto opposition. And then there's a T-square of that with Jupiter. So because Jupiter's in Taurus, so we're talking fixed signs here. Jupiter's in Taurus, and then Mars and Pluto are opposite. Pluto's at zero Aquarius, and Mars is at zero Leo. And that's right now. Like, that's been in orb for a while, for a few days, depending on what kind of orbs you use, and will happen through, I would say, I don't know, June 1st, first week of June. And, oh man, like that's kind of an intense aspect. And it makes me think of a power struggle. It also makes me think of people kind of seeing their own point of view and not really seeing the other person's point of view. It being just like this complete opposite thing, like Pluto in Aquarius is a 20-year transit. We'll learn more about what it means. And there's been a lot of great talks astrologers have given about what that may mean. But in terms of Aquarius, I definitely think of an idea of like a focus on the collective, not on the individual and not on the small group. It's very much about whole group, like think Gandhi, who is a famous Aquarian. And in that sort of way of thinking, it almost makes me think of like ants and bees and the way like the individual really doesn't matter, right? Like they will sacrifice themselves for the whole, for any reason, you know, it's really about the whole group. And that's not right or wrong in my opinion. But there's that. And then on the other side of the street, we have Leo, which to my mind is really so much about personal expression and romantic individualism, or like focusing on your own kind of personal experience or that of your close people. Like it doesn't have to be like you're all alone, but it's more like small group focused. And with Mars there, it kind of like makes me think of a cowboy. Like there's this kind of a rugged individualism component to that. And those two sides are not, one isn't better than the other one. They need each other. And it's hard, I think, if you get entrenched in one or the other, to see the value of the opposite. And I feel like I'm just as prone to this as anyone. Like we get kind of in our own perspective, and it can be very hard to see the value in someone else's, and very easy to other them, to be like, you know, and to just call names really, and dehumanize people who take a different stance than you that feels opposite. And I think that there's always an invitation within that to be fully present in, okay, this is what's happening, but, and then step it back. Cause it, whenever we're over, I would say like over-identified with a certain stance, like a certain archetypal energy, or we are holding a position, it means we've lost our center, which not everybody's going to agree with me on that. You're like, it's very easy to get into righteous anger and feel that you are very entitled to that. I totally get it. I'm also human. But my medicine for this, because we've had, I feel like, a lot of that, I think, politically for a long time now. And I feel like I'm just continuously invited into this space beyond all of these pairs of opposites. It's so hard because I have my own beliefs as well. But I think anytime I'm in that position of like, I'm holding a position or I'm digging my heels and it's actually not really correct So you don't, and you don't necessarily, it feels like you have to do that sometimes, but I don't know if you usually do. I feel like it's this kind of tunnel vision. And I think of Mars, this Mars Pluto opposition is very much relating to that. Oppositions do in general, but these are kind of intense heavenly players. So yeah, if that's helpful for you, good. If it's not, throw it out, whatever. Jupiter isn't in a T square to that, which I think is interesting because like Jupiter always wants to make things better, but he's kind of this like intermediary, you know, like he's kind of stuck in the middle there and trying to help, but also at these hard angles. So I feel like sometimes that help might be a little bit misguided or a little bit like not exactly what's needed. There's that potential anyway. I don't follow the news as closely as I probably would need to see all the ways that's going to play out in the world, but I'm sure that it will. It's kind of interesting. So that, I'm talking longer than I meant to on this. I'll just say one more thing. So, and that's all through like early June. The last thing I'll just say is that Mercury station direct after a 2-week, you know, usual 2-week retrograde, this happens all the time. Mercury station direct on the 15th of May, and he'll be in his shadow, which means like retracing the degrees that he retrograded. Not getting like, it's kind of still in the hole basically, until June 1st. And then he'll start to move out of that shadow. And, I thought this was kind of a funny Mercury retrograde. I just had so many typical things happen. Like I had one day on the 15th, on the day that Mercury station direct, I had 3 packages arrive in the mail. One of them was a book from my aunt, which I didn't know was coming, so that was nice. One of them was a book from an astrologer colleague that it was from abroad, and so it had actually just, I think, been sitting in a customs office for a very long time. And then the last one was a gift from a friend that included, and I wasn't expecting anything other than the book from the colleague that she co-authored. She's going to be on the show. It'll be really fun, but the gift from a friend included a pin, an enamel pin of a raccoon, which I love raccoons. They're one of my favorite animals. So it's not strange that she got it for me, or her daughter did actually. But raccoons are like little thieves, right? They're little bandits. They wear masks and, you know, eat your compost and your trash. And that seems so Mercury rule to me, because Mercury is the planet that governs thieves. And then of course books and, you know, are very much related to Mercury too. And it was like all those showed up, like they weren't able to show up until Mercury station direct. I was like, wow. Oh, and then the other one, there's been so many honestly, but the other one was I had a whole funny debacle, which was that I finally registered for a trade name, they call it in Nebraska. They're places will call it like a fictitious business statement or a DBA, but I finally registered Soil and Stars as a trade name. And it's kind of a funny, it feels like a little bit of an antiquated process. So you have to fill out a form and register that with the Secretary of State. And then you have to contact the newspaper and ask the newspaper to publish it. The first one costs $100, and then publishing in the newspaper costs $50. And then the newspaper sends you a notarized affidavit in the mail that then you have to send to the Secretary of State. And there are companies that'll do all that for you, but I mean, that's not very hard, right? So I did it myself. And that notarized affidavit was just not coming. And I started this all before Mercury went retrograde, by the way, but the notarized affidavit just was not coming. And I was starting to be worried because you only have a certain amount of time for all that to happen. And I only had like 2 weeks left, which is plenty of time theoretically, but it just said it hadn't happened. So I'm like, what's going on here? So I reached out to the newspaper, and it turned out that the place, like the kind of subcontractor that they work with who does that for them in another state, had some issue. And so they sent me one, but it didn't actually happen. And she just said, like, without me even reaching out, because I think I reached out on the 16th, she said, we sent you a new one on the 15th. So the day Mercury Station Direct, we sent you a new one on the 15th. So you should get it soon. And I did. And I did. I got it in like 3 days. And I sent it off to the Secretary of State. And I just thought that was so funny. It's like, you just can't make this stuff up, that Mercury retrogrades actually do things. And I really try to live my life normally. And it's like, you know, kind of annoying. Anyway. So we're still in the shadow till June 1st. So if there's anything like that is still kind of lingering like that, like me and the stupid notarized affidavit, if you have something like that, a lot of that should get sorted by June 1st, or you have more kind of potency to actually get it going. And I mean, I think of Mercury retrogrades as a nice opportunity to, you know, have a review, like whatever, not just like randomly, but like in terms of what's coming up from the past for you to look at, you know, what memories and regrets, or, you know, what's coming up for you to actually bring your consciousness to now and update your understanding of. So you still have a little time for, so that's what I have. That's what I have. This may become a monthly thing. You all can tell me if you want that or not. I know there's a ton of people doing astrology forecasting, you know, people who are a lot more experienced than me. It feels like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just, tell me if this is interesting or helpful. I'll probably do it next month and we can see. So that is that. Pivoting now. I want to just share about ways astrology is misused. I have four. So it's sort of three, sort of four. And this isn't going to be super long, but I just hope that, I hope this is helpful for you in your own process too. So ways astrology is misused. Putting people in boxes instead of using astrology as an entry point for deeper inquiry. I can't tell you how many times I've had people just say things like, and some of this is a long, long time ago, people being really put off by astrology because they've had people say like, oh, that's such a Leo thing to do, or like, that's such a, you're such a Gemini, in like a mean way. And I feel like that's very human to do that. And it's also not helpful at all. And I think a lot of people, like my dad is an example of this. Like, he thinks astrology is like, he loves me so much and wants me to do all the things that I love. And he thinks astrology is stupid. And he doesn't like anything that kind of puts people in boxes, in his opinion. And I think a lot of people have that view. I don't, because I guess I don't see it. I just have never seen it that way. I've always found anything that helps me understand myself better and other people around me, you know, through using categories, I've always taken that as I've taken that a little bit lightly, in terms of like, not an absolute thing, like, oh, I'm a Capricorn, so I'm da da da, or you're a Cancer, so you're da da da. Like, it's, that feels like a very shallow way of looking at it. I think I do it to a tiny extent in like a lighthearted way, right? But not actually thinking that's who someone is, or that's the totality of who they are. Like, it's supposed to be more like, you could even see it as a metaphor to help you understand yourself and others better, but it's not the whole picture. There's no way to even... there's no way to really do that, because you're complex and infinite. So I really see it as an entry point for deeper inquiry, as opposed to, you know, just putting someone in a category and sort of like dusting your hands off. Yeah. So there's that. Second one, number two, using astrology as an excuse for bad behavior. So like giving oneself unlimited license for bad behavior. I said that's the exact same thing said two different ways. So you know, like the whole point is, I'll use Capricorn as an example. You know, like if Capricorn is prone to being stingy and overly focused on security, those are things to work through, not just keep doing mindlessly like a toy that was wound up at, you know, and then you're just kind of marching across the room in that same way. It's like the whole point is to learn and to do the good things and learn to not do the things that are causing suffering to yourself and others. You know, like if you, in the Capricorn example, a certain amount of frugality may be helpful, but extreme stinginess is not. So like using your sun sign as an excuse, or if you're at a deeper level and you're not really, you're beyond sun signs, you're talking about other things, but whatever, and you're using that as an excuse, like actually, like you're not just joking around, I think that that's really not okay. And it defeats the whole purpose. It really defeats the whole purpose. So there's that. Number three, this is probably the biggest one. Using astrology as reasons or a reason to be afraid and hiding under the bed and not taking action. It's like, oh, it's Mercury retrograde, I'm not going to do this. I was just talking about all my little Mercury retrograde things. But at a deeper level, it's like, yeah, if you know enough, you can use astrology for timing. That's not the same thing as hiding under the bed, right? But I've just seen people just use it as an excuse to not take action. And it's like, lots of times it's better to take imperfect action than to not do anything, right? Not in every case, but I think that comes up a lot. I think it's usually better to just do whatever it is. Like if you see that, like I was talking about the Mars-Pluto opposition, if that felt like, oh, that's really coming up for me, you might be tempted to not see your friends, right? To be like, oh, there might be an argument, you know? And it's like, that's not helpful. Of course you should see your friends. And like, don't hide from life. Engage with it. And it might be a lot better than you think. And it could be nothing happens whatsoever at that time. And you've been afraid for no reason. And so number four. Yeah. Using something in your birth chart as evidence of you being a victim / cursed / you can't be happy and fulfilled. This is a thing that you see a lot when people start to learn more about how to really read their chart. Anyone with any chart can find things in there that feel hard and feel scary. And if there's a thing that's a current challenge, like a current growth edge, like for instance, something about like you're single and you want to have a partner, or you recently went through a breakup and you are like, I'll never find love. Like you'll be able to find something in your chart that you can interpret to be like, yes, that is true. You're going to be alone and lonely forever. And yeah, no matter what your chart actually looks like, I think you could probably find something that looks like that. And it could be about career, it could be about money, it could be about whatever your pattern is or whatever you're currently bumping up against. And it's, I think victim mentality is a bigger conversation, but I just want to talk about it in terms of astrology right now with that, because I really don't think that that's very helpful. I mean, okay, really, Molly, you don't think that that's helpful? No, I don't. But it's like, I think the chart is more about, like, it can show you areas of challenge, and it can show you external and internal circumstances, but it doesn't show exactly everything that's going to happen. And I feel like often the areas where we struggle are those end up being our greatest gifts anyway, right? And it's like, I think I said this in the class I teach not that long ago, that let's say you have a difficult whatever it is in your chart. I think of the planet Mars, looking at that obstacle, like as an obstacle course versus like an impenetrable, whatever that's meant to keep you from the finish line. It's like, no, it's an obstacle course. And Mars is like, are you going to sit there and cry about it? Or are you going to do it? Which is kind of harsh. I don't think it sounds harsh when I say it just now, but like when you're faced with that, it really feels pretty harsh. But I really think that that is the case. And in terms of studying some celebrity charts, which is something I try to do, I like to teach from them. I know people always want to look at their own charts, but I feel like it's really nice to get some distance and look at David Bowie's chart, for instance, and instead of your own. But anyway, one thing I've seen in a lot of celebrity charts is a really strong Mars, like Mars in Capricorn or Aries a lot, that may or may not be in a good house, but there's some other things going on that make that Mars really strong. And it's just like really speaks to how much sustained effort it takes to achieve anything. Like, I know there'll be moments of grace and there'll be things that do come with a lot of ease and grace. But if you're trying to accomplish some great thing, it takes a lot of sustained effort too. And that really, that Mars in Capricorn especially really speaks to that. That I was looking, I've been blabbing about this so much lately in class, but like that's a thing David Bowie had in his chart. And it was actually conjunct his sun. So it was a combust Mars. Which that's a whole interesting thing, but yeah, Mars in Capricorn in the 12th. And he, like, I know he found success, pretty big success in his mid-20s, but that was a lifetime of effort. Like, that might seem like, oh, you know, he was so young. He was in his mid-20s. That's like, he was so lucky, but that's not really the case. He made his own luck through immense effort and practice over, you know, the course of his entire life leading up to that point. Especially like for about 10 years leading up to that point, he just was making music all the time and constantly trying to get representation, trying to get record deals and all of that. And his band, like getting new bands all the time because of some conflicts and trying to make that work. It was just, yeah, it was, I'm sure he took breaks and slept, I hope, and all the things, but he put in a lot of effort over time. And I find that really, honestly, I find that extremely encouraging because it's so easy to look at someone else who is successful and to think, oh, I could never do that. But it's those small actions sustained over time that really make the difference. And it doesn't matter, like, yeah, Mars is exalted in Capricorn, that's great, but to me, like, anyone can do that. We can learn from that Mars in Capricorn energy, and we can put in that effort over time, because I think that really is the thing that makes the difference. Like, you can have Mars in Cancer, like we just had, and you can still do that. So those are the things that I would say ways astrology is misused. There's probably more, and certainly there's some historical examples, but I'll just repeat. So putting people in boxes instead of using astrology as an entry point for deeper inquiry, using astrology as an excuse for bad behavior, using astrology as a reason to be afraid and hiding under the bed and not taking action. And finally, using something in your birth chart as evidence of you being a victim, that, you know, cursed, can't be happy and fulfilled. So those are those four things. I hope that that is helpful for you. And, you know, for all of us in not doing that. I'm going to be sharing a few more episodes kind of along these lines about astrology. I'm also, there's a couple of astrologer colleagues I'm going to be having on the show over the next few months to talk about interesting things. I'm really excited about that. Once again, yeah, if you want me to teach or speak, same thing, I guess, at your event or give mini readings and you feel like that would be a good fit, please reach out. A garbage truck is going by. I don't know if you can hear it or not. We'll see. Anyway, yeah, and that could be for free or paid, just depending on what the thing is, you know, and what makes sense in that organization. And yeah, if you want to book a natal chart reading because you want some clarity for where you're at in your life right now because you're going through a change, or if you want a natal chart reading because you're really interested in astrology and you love things that help you understand yourself and others better, book a natal chart reading with me. You can do so on my website, soilandstars.art. If you have a specific situation that is like you are looking for a specific answer, like about a lost object or like buying a car, or you know, things that are very specific that you wouldn't necessarily find a lot to answer it in the natal chart, you can book a horary question with me. Like, we don't have to have a reading. We can, but usually people just email me the question and then I cast a chart for the question and answer it via email. And we can go back and forth as much as you need to. Yeah, I love horary. It's kind of a divinatory branch of astrology, and I feel like it's really magical. You get into deep water quickly because it's people's problems. But that's the whole point, isn't it? To just be in the thick of it, in the realness of life. So that is what I have for you today. And yeah, I'm about to go teach a plant class at the conference this weekend. I think it'll be really fun. Next time you hear from me, I will have done that and I will be back in my normal life. I hope you have a really great rest of your week. And until then, take good care. All right. Bye.